Thank you very much. Without further delay then, I will introduce the main event, the reason why we've all gathered here today. Dr. Jack Mintz was appointed the Palmer Chair in Public Policy at the University of Calgary in January 2008. He is widely published in the field of public economics. In 2004, he was touted in a UK magazine as one of the world's most influential tax experts. Dr. Mintz held the position of Professor of Business Economics at the Rotman School of Business from 1989 to 2007, and Department of Economics at Queen's University from 1978 to 89. He was a visiting professor at the New York University Law School. He has consulted widely with the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, alongside federal and provincial governments in Canada and various businesses and nonprofit organizations. Dr. Mintz was awarded the Queen Elizabeth Diamond Jubilee Medal in 2012 for service to the Canadian tax policy community, and we are certainly very honored to have him here today to present the findings of his most recent paper, which is on all the screens all around the room here, No More Second-Class Citizens, How Income Splitting Can Bring Fairness to Canada's Single Earner Families. Would you please join me in welcoming Dr. Mintz?
What I'd like to do is, first of all, introduce Matt Kropowski, who is completing his PhD in economics at the University of Calgary, but has been writing with me already on a number of topics, but also doing his own work. And I have to give credit to Matt particularly, because what our solution or particular proposal that we're going to make is was very much based on an excellent idea of his own. And I think it does say something about the need for some thoughtful comment on it. I'd like to thank the Honourable John McKay and the Member of Parliament Stella Ambers for that is actually true about A's. You know, you always get to go first. But anyway, M's, I'm always in the middle. But for hosting today and actually John, I totally agree with you. I think we need a reasonable discussion on this. As many of you know, I'm actually myself very nonpartisan. In fact, as one friend of mine say, I tick off all parties at the same time on an equal basis. But I do actually have worked over the years in tax policy. And in fact, this topic of family taxation really goes back to the Carter Commission, very famous commission in Canada that had a lot of influence, not just in Canada, but worldwide on tax policy. And they had, and I had grown on that. I was an undergraduate reading the Carter Commission and at that time. And the Benson White Paper and all the debate that went over 1972 tax reform. But family taxation was something they had recommended. And there's been a considerable amount of economic analysis done over the years about trying to achieve equal treatment of families, different types of families. And it is a controversial subject, and even amongst economists there's debate about what is the appropriate thing to do. But just to step back, what I'm going to basically run through is really what is the argument in favor of some form of income splitting for employment income in Canada. Why I think it is a good idea, or at least why Matt and I both think of it as a good idea, how we would try to accomplish this equality, and we particularly have a twist on the original conservative proposal of splitting income up to $50,000 that I think would achieve quite a bit in terms of equal taxation of different types of families which with children. And I think there's certainly a strong argument, in my view, for trying to move in that. But I have to admit, I was raised on the Carter Report, and I always thought family taxation did make a lot of sense, and it is done in a number of countries. So I also want to thank Andrea for giving this opportunity to speak on Parliament Hill. I did this 5 years ago on this very topic. The thing that impressed me is that it gets a very good turnout of parliamentarians and others, and it's clearly an opportunity to discuss what I think is a serious topic and one that should be addressed, and therefore I think is valuable for having a good group like this today to have this opportunity to discuss and debate, actually, the issue. So let me begin with the very first slide. I don't know who's controlling it. Okay, good. Thank you, Andrea. So what's the issue? Well, the issue, to put it in simple terms, is that single-earner families pay more tax than dual-earner families with the same level of income. And as we show, for example, a single earner with $70,000 in family income pays 30% more tax than two earner families earning the same amount of income. And the reason for that, as I'm sure everyone in this room knows, is due to the progressive tax system, where income taxes go up with levels of income. And if you are a single earner with the same amount of income as a dual earner, what happens is that the dual earner can actually pay less tax because they're at lower marginal tax rates compared to the single earner. And this issue is a long-standing one. Canada, we've based our income tax system on the individual unit, at least originally. And the Carter Commission back in 1966 had recommended actually going to family taxation, which is a major change. And of course, we do see some countries having it. For example, United States allows couples to jointly file. It's really a form of family taxation. France has the most sophisticated system, where you aggregate up all family income and then you divide it by quotient. And the quotient is one for each parent, and then there's a half for the first and second children, and then one for three or more children. And then you calculate your tax for each family income per person in that household, calculate the total income tax and multiply it by the quotient, and that gives you the total amount of tax to be paid. That's actually the most sophisticated family form of family taxation in the world, and it actually allows for all sorts of positive aspects. First of all, it doesn't discriminate against different types of families, but also it saves on a lot of complexity because you don't have to have the same sort of attribution rules applying. That if you give money, let's say, from you to your spouse or to your child, there's no need to attribute income back to you because you're adding it all up anyway. So it doesn't matter in the least bit. Now, of course, it's a major change for us to go to completely that French style of family taxation. So some people have argued for some form of income splitting. And in fact, in Canada, we've already gone to some elements of family taxation in the income tax structure. For example, GST and child tax benefit credits are calculated with a are income tested, and the income is based on family income, actually how much family income there is, not just individual income. Similarly, we have rules that allow for income splitting now for pensioners. We also have income splitting, in a sense, for registered retirement savings plans, because a spouse can contribute to another spouse's RSP. Also, when it comes to self-employed individuals, there are things in the tax system that can really allow you to split income with family members as well, particularly through corporate structures. And that's, in a sense, when you sort of look at it, there's lots of opportunities for people with capital income to split their income with other members of the family, but we don't allow anything for employment income. And so I look at the conservative proposal to split income up to $50,000 as really a way of getting more equal treatment of different types of families, but at the same time allowing for people with employed income, unlike other people, to have an opportunity to do split income, because these other opportunities are more available in other circumstances. So I do think there is an issue of equity here, an issue of fairness, and I do think that we need to at least think about introducing this type of proposal. So what we do, maybe we'll go to the next slide, is we actually first start with just looking at the federal tax burden for a couple with a child, and compare it for dual earners versus single earners across different income levels. And the blue line is the amount of tax, it's federal tax, that's paid by the single earner. The red line is the amount of tax paid by the dual earner. And as you can see, that gap does widen as you get to higher income levels, let's say up to $150,000 as in this graph. But you can see the divergence actually starts at $4,500 and in family income. So in other words, it's even at relatively lower levels of income that you do see this divergence. You don't see it as much as in the very lowest income groups because of the child tax benefit that does provide some at least equality between dual and single earner families, and also you tend to be at a single tax rate at that point at the low income level. So that that actually gives you some idea about that burden, and what we showed is that you know, that you do get this disparage in tax and you need to be paid, and this is something that should be corrected. Next one. Now, this also applies to the provinces where you get quite significant differences. In Alberta, actually, there is no difference between the tax treatment of dual and single earner families with children. And why is that? Because there's a flat tax in Alberta, a 10% rate, so there's no advantage of, let's say, transferring $50,000 of income to another spouse because they'll simply pay the same amount of tax because it's just a flat tax at that point. The biggest divergence is in Ontario, and you can see that at $50,000 in income, you would a single earner family would pay about roughly $700, Matt, about $700 more in tax. And when you look at a family income of $100,000, the difference in federal provincial tax in Ontario would be up to $3,500. So that would be on top of the federal differences as well. So what would the income splitting do? Well, just to, as a first pass, we just sort of asked the question, what would happen if you do allow for splitting of income? And it's actually remarkable that that $50,000 amount, and running it through Statistics Canada data sets that we have, you actually are able to eliminate the differential between these two types of families, those with dual and single earner families. In fact, you can see the lines are almost on top of each other. However, there is a couple of criticisms that are made against income splitting, and I think these are two important ones. The first one is that when you do have family taxation in general, when you go to the move towards family taxation, the secondary earner, or let's say the stay-at-home spouse, if they do decide to work, they face higher average tax rates when there is splitting of income compared to if they were just individually working. And so a number of studies, including a recent United Kingdom study, the Merlis report, had pointed out to the impact that that would have on work and the concern that they had with respect to moving towards family taxation in the United Kingdom. Similarly, there's another issue which is important, and that is the stay-at-home spouse has, in a sense, untaxed implicit income in that they can do things with what economists like to call home production, which includes rearing children, that is untaxed, and that gives them a certain advantage because they have more time to do these things at home relative to a dual earner family, which may have to pay for, let's say, housekeeping and you know, child care services and all sorts of other things as compensation for that. So what we did is we worked through actually the value of that implicit income, and that gets to the next graph, with income splitting, and we show that actually in this case the dual earner, which is the red line, does pay more tax than the single earner, which is the blue line, under income splitting, and that's a fairly constant amount of money after $50,000, and that's roughly equivalent to about $1,600 in tax as a result. And so you do end up with income splitting to give this advantage to the single earner as a single earner family as a result, once you take into account this implicit income that's earned by the stay-at-home spouse in terms of various functions at home. But there's a way to correct for that, and this is where Matt deserves particularly the credit on this. And that is, what happens when you do allow income splitting, there's another feature of the income tax system, and that is the personal exemption is claimed, let's say if you have a you have a person who is working and another person who's not working in the household. The person who is working can claim a second personal exemption for the stay-at-home spouse and reduce their own taxes. What we suggest is not allow the transfer, if there is income splitting, not allow the transferability of that basic exemption from the stay-at-home spouse to the working spouse, which is roughly, the exemption is $10,800, which is roughly equivalent to about a $1,600 tax credit. And in fact, what that would do then is that if you did bring in that provision on top of income splitting, then the red line will be almost on top of the blue line. In other words, it'll be virtual equal treatment of the two families, and in fact, they would pay virtually the same amount of tax, taking into account implicit untaxed income. And there's also another important feature. Effectively, the personal exemption available to the stay-at-home spouse can be used if they go out and work. And so it deals with what is a very significant issue raised by the Merley's report in the United Kingdom, being concerned about, you know, disincentives for people to go into the workforce. What the studies have shown is there are some critical stages in life, retirement, and also when children get into school. Those are the most sensitive points where the tax system can play a big role. The availability of the personal exemption for the second, for the stay-at-home parent to decide to go into the workforce is available to them. So it's almost like an employment tax credit at that point to encourage them to work. So that actually deals with the second objection to income splitting. So I think just to summarize, you can go to the next slide. This is effectively the solution that we're suggesting. We do recommend that income splitting makes a lot of sense. We argue for this one twist to the proposal that would actually deal with the kind of criticisms that are applied to income splitting, and this would allow for those with employment income to split income that is currently not available to them, unlike for other types of income, and does move us towards more family taxation, which in my view is a very good thing. So I think that's, I'm very happy to open it up for discussion from the floor and to take comments, but I do think that there's a lot of value to this particular solution, and we certainly would recommend this kind of proposal.